Welcome to Shake It Off, a podcast that gives you the tools, strategies, and stories to optimize and prioritize your physical and mental health.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our very first episode. This podcast is by Dr. Lauren Hodge and myself, Kendra Till, and we're here to give you the tools, strategies, and things to handle the unexpected BS that life throws your way.
We will plant ourselves firmly at the gates of truth-telling. This is going to be like a heartwarming conversation with your best friend, and we discuss all the physical and mental health hacks that we've learned along the way and that are supported by science. We speak about the truth and what we're experiencing in life.
So today we're going to introduce ourselves and tell you about what brought us to this point of creating Shake It Off. It's actually pretty wild how we met. Lauren and I went to the University of South Carolina and essentially had the same circle of friends.
Kendra was an 80 pie and I was actually a tri-delt. And we found out through a mutual friend, that we were both traveling at the same time to Australia right after we graduated from college.
That's right. And when we were in Australia, we coincidentally ran into each other at a turf club on the Gold Coast, which is Australian for a horse racing track, so similar to the Camden Cup or the Kentucky Derby. And I was there as a patron, so I was all decked out in my horse, you know, my dress and my hat, and I was in the bathroom and I was washing my hands, chatting away to this girl next to me, and then all of a sudden from the stalls I hear, "Kendra, is that you?" And sure enough, Lauren pops out from one of the stalls and she was in her turf club uniform. And we just, connected again. And then...
So I was working at the turf club at this time because Kendra and I were still technically backpacking. And I actually, I'm pretty sure on that weekend, it was the Melbourne Cup weekend. So that was the biggest race of the year in Australia. And I was currently that week staying in a tent in Byron Bay because I was still backpacking. So this was my like backpacker job. And Kendra also looked at me and said, "Well, I need work too," because she's just backpacking around. Neither of us had planned to stay longer than 6 weeks in Australia.
Yeah.
And so we like actually were running out of money and needed to quickly find a job and figure out what we were going to do next. So Kendra started working with me at the turf club.
So funny. They put us in the membership area, and Lauren and I did not know much about horse racing in general. And I just remember when people would run up to the counters and they'd say, "I'd like to put a bet or a trifecta on this, this, and this," and then, you know, you're running against the clock, and it was just really quite comical. But we had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, they would always put us in the member section because we were probably the youngest employees there by 30 years, and that and the tote operators, at least the people who took in the bets, we were the youngest by 30 years. So they put us in the member area where like all the people would go to party, and that also meant that they were doing interesting activities like coming up to our tote stations and doing the Pledge of Allegiance, actually, when they wanted to flirt. That was their flirting. That was their way of flirting. Australians are not really good flirts, sorry.
I forgot but about that.
They would, in the, you know, they're, as you would be, as a lot of people are at the Camden Cup, they're like overindulging. So a lot of embarrassing behaviors for them, but also hilarious. It was a good experience for us. So we both were there for about 3 months. And actually later on, we ended up living together on the coast many years later. And then we were on this journey of self-discovery and figuring out who we were outside of our family systems and stories. We were both living there on our own. We had both decided to backpack there on our own accord. And so when we were doing this journey of self-discovery, we were hiking and surfing and exploring all the things internally and externally. And it was a time that was really driven by intuition, and we realized through all this change that we needed the skills to be able to take care of ourselves and our physical and our mental health, and to be our strongest self whenever we face challenges that life throws our way. And really, a lot of this is about finding what lights you up. When you're going through change, when you're experiencing hard things, identifying what lights you up and gives you joy. So, Kendra, tell us what lights you up and tell us about who you are, because we're going to do a little introduction.
Yes. So I'm Kendra Till. I was born in Iowa, and then I moved to the South during my childhood. I'm a marketing and communications specialist, as well as a Pilates instructor, mentor, and an educator. I empower clients and mentor students to maintain their physical health goals and teach about the mind-body connection. I've co-designed and implemented a nationwide women's wellness curriculum for Surfing Australia, and that was centered around basically nudging women, including those who are typically sedentary, to integrate exercise and to get outside and get some activity into their daily lives. So for the past 12 years, I've been teaching Pilates, and before that, I was working as a marketing and communications manager in the corporate world, and now I do both.
Now, we were living together when you were still working in the corporate world, and I remember your marketing and communications roles varied across like a huge range of industries. So yes. Which industries have you worked in? Remind me.
Yes, I have worked in a vast range of different industries. So I've worked in nonprofit, professional sports, the financial sector, as well as higher education, including at the university level.
And you helped co-create and launch an entire women's surfing program for Surfing Australia, which was, like you said, grounded in nudging people to get active and get moving, and really incorporating your skill set also around Pilates and the different areas that you need to strengthen to be able to, you know, do well in the surf or in the water.
Absolutely, yeah. That was a role that really tied in all my expertise from a marketing and comms background, as well as what I was doing in the Pilates space as well. So it's a great program. It really encouraged women to get physically active, you know, the importance of becoming socially connected within that program as well. And then also just creating mindfulness practices on and near the water. So yeah, it was just a great role that really incorporated everything that I've learned through both realms.
And then you worked at Griffith University in higher education. So what was that role?
That's right. So I worked in the exercise and sport program there. And that was a fantastic role. I really enjoyed the people that I worked with. And again, it just really integrated my marketing and comms, expertise, as well as with my Pilates background as well. In fact, I hosted quite a few workshops for the exercise and sport students there. I hosted Pilates workshops, so that was great. So I got to pass on my knowledge through students that were going through the programs. And then I moved back to the U.S. in November of 2021.
Wow, and I know we're going to cover the move back to the U.S. and what you're doing now, but yes. What brings you joy?
I think what brings me the most joy is travel and weekend adventures with my husband. So we actually, since we've been back in the U.S., we've been able to go on little weekend adventures to St. Augustine in Florida and to Nashville, and just recently we went to Savannah. But yeah, I think what really brings me joy also is teaching people about body awareness, which includes your posture and the correct alignment within your body, which can really impact your life forever.
I'm going to interject really quick because I have to say that I learned so much about, even how I'm sitting right now, I'm looking at myself correcting my posture. I learned so much about my body awareness from you teaching Reformer Pilates and getting me in the studio, because I used to run half marathons and I ran a marathon and got pretty injured. But then that also meant whenever I was working, I was having these weird sitting positions, overcorrecting, and I was in a lot of pain because I sat down a lot. So she got me into her studio and taught me all these things that now I'm like aware of, the subtle movements that I make that can actually have like long-term effects on my happiness, my pain levels, and everything.
Absolutely. And it's pretty incredible to see, you know, different professionals come in. You know, if you sit at a desk all day, or if you're a labor worker, or if you're a mom that's carrying around a toddler, chasing after a toddler all day, you know, these certain movements and these patterns that we get into can really impact, you know, how your body moves. And it's, I just absolutely love empowering people and giving them the knowledge about their bodies, so that they can, yeah, just ensure that they're making the most of, you know, their movements throughout the day. And that's something that's really important to me as well, is just ensuring that people can fit in physical activity into their daily life realistically. So the reason I chose Pilates is because it allows me to support people and help them feel good. So I think freedom from pain and ensuring, you know, giving people better mobility, and ultimately, and I've heard this expression before, which I love, is making good old people, you know? So ensuring that when you're older, you can, you know, lift your arm up and grab a cup to make a cup of tea when you're older. You know, those little things, you want to ensure that you can give yourself the quality of life as we get older. So ultimately, I enjoy teaching clients these mindful movement practices, which can be carried throughout the day. Also, for me, I have recently really enjoyed running. So that's become my physical activity. It helps to clear my mind. And Lauren and I have actually signed up to participate in a 10K in Charleston.
So I did run that marathon 10, 12 years ago, maybe, but I'm back into running. And the first run that we are doing is this 10K for the Cooper River Bridge Run. And same as Kendra, it really helps me clear my mind, and it helps me, the running just helps me feel back into my body. So I bet with moving back to the U.S. and all of the changes you're experiencing in your relationship and in your personal life, that running really helps you stay sane right now.
Absolutely, yeah. And my husband, Jesse, he's Australian, so he's lived in the U.S. before, but, you know, coming here together, he's actually started, you know, really getting into his running as well. And we've just both found that it gives us, yeah, that sense of just freedom and, you know, clears your mind. And, you know, I think for us, because for Jesse and I in particular, our entire, you know, relationship, we've lived in the U.S. And so, you know, having these little routines of running, and even, you know, we joined a gym, and we're just trying to find our community and new jobs as well. We're in the process of getting established in that area. So, you know, everything, we find that through some of the most debilitating moments where we're getting, you know, we're feeling overwhelmed and just unsettled, it's just been such an important element to keep that sense of routine. So,
well, it's a huge change.
It is, yeah, absolutely. And like we said, I think those physical activities that can bring you back into the present and just help clear your mind, and it just becomes a form of meditation in itself. So setting that goal of running the 10K has been wonderful, because it's actually giving me something to work towards, and, you know, when nothing is consistent in our lives right now. So, yeah, it's just been great to have that.
I think having something to work towards and having a goal to work towards when you're moving through change is such an important nugget of information there, that when you go through change, that's really something that can help you stay grounded and picking your, like you said, your physical activity that you're going to get involved with throughout the day. So I think that is actually something that we're going to cover probably more in a later episode. But now that we are understanding kind of where you're at, mm-hmm. what are your goals for the future? What do you want to do now that you're here?
So ultimately, I want to inspire people to do their quote unquote, their daily 30, and ultimately build community. So one thing that I've learned in Pilates when I was in Australia is how easy it is to incorporate 30 minutes of movement into your day. So, for example, a lot of people might be hesitant to join a gym, you know, it might be really busy, but there's easy ways to incorporate movement, such as, you know, perhaps, you know, you and your family taking your bikes to a local restaurant rather than jumping in the car, or perhaps if you've taken your kids to the park, Instead of sitting there and just scrolling on your phone, perhaps you can jump on the swings or, you know, run around and, you know, play with your kids or, you know, do some squats and just make it a really fun, playful environment. So it's definitely something that I want to incorporate and help people incorporate into their lives more. So, you know, another example, actually, Lauren does this so well, you know, instead of, you know, if you have a meeting, perhaps suggesting it's a walking meeting. So you go and meet up with somebody and you actually walk and talk. And it's the same, you know, if with some girlfriends, if they call you up and say, oh, I just really need to vent, you know, perhaps suggesting, well, let's go for a walk and we can talk at the same time. So, you know, movement's such a great way to, you know, create a sense of community as well, which I think is ultimately really important. So now that y'all know a little bit about me, Lauren, let's go ahead and tell everyone what brings you joy as well as your story.
Well, I am originally from Sumter, South Carolina, which is about an hour and 45 minutes from where I live now in Charleston. And I am a behavioral scientist by training. I have a PhD in the field of psychology. And my research experience is really around parenting and family support, implementation science, which is like how you implement programs and develop them, and stress management and well-being. So I am a mental health program design consultant and a stress management and parenting coach. Bit of a mouthful. And I work at at my own consultancy and coaching business called the Mindset and Positive Change Consultancy and Coaching. And I develop unique strategies to help professionals and parents find their emotional center when they experience stress and burnout. I also help bring people from stress and overwhelm to a state of presence and purpose. And I do it really because I'm passionate about helping people who experienced toxic stress as children and who experienced chronic stress as adults to grow and change into the person, parent, and professional that they want to become. So I spent 15 years researching and writing behavioral health programs for parents and adults to improve their relationships and reduce stress. And this was for global and national organizations. And I really have an understanding of the patterns, that behavioral patterns that happen for people, and I assess them so that I can provide support.
And you worked in academia for about 8 years at the University of Queensland in Australia. And mm-hmm. I remember for a number, you've also worked for a number of not-for-profit and government organizations implementing these mental health programs, not only in Australia, but also internationally. So most of your time you worked with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island communities in Australia. But you also worked in Geneva on the Zika virus response team, and then you also volunteered in Bangladesh within the indigenous communities there as well.
That's right. I did. I'm surprised you remember that. I did a short stint, and I volunteered on an aid project supporting indigenous communities in the Chittagong Hill Treks in Bangladesh, which is a heavily militarized region that doesn't even recognize the tribes' indigenality. So the indigenous tribes are not recognized as indigenous by the people there. They are recognized in the other greater world. So technically you're not allowed to communicate with or support those indigenous people in that region because of the militarized sanctions. And every move we made when I visited the villages was monitored. I literally had the hotel staff knock on my door on the nights that I was staying in the village to make sure I was in my room. Every couple hours, they would knock on my door when I was sleeping to ensure I wasn't meeting with the indigenous women in the community, which I did meet with them. I just didn't meet with them at night. Won't tell you how we achieved that one, though.
That's absolutely crazy. Like, I cannot fathom. I just would have been so paranoid in that environment. So I take my hat off to you for doing that. And how is that different to working with the Aboriginal communities in Australia?
Well, it's actually completely different because the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander population isn't militarized in Australia, as you know, because you live there. Mm-hmm. So to work with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities in Australia, you have to be invited into the community by the elder, and they really have the right to say whether or not you can visit, and they do it based on invitation. So That was a great process of building relationships and being invited into these 14 different communities that I worked with, these remote communities. And there's a lot of respect for elders in the community, and they make a lot of the decisions for the community. So I learned the importance of connecting to the land that you stand on, and looking after the land and the environment and learning from nature. I also, from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, I learned the importance of community and family, or friends who are like family, because we didn't have our family in Australia, and we actually rarely saw them. Maybe we'd see them once a year when we would go back to the U.S. So it was important to me. I think spending all that time in communities helped me see the importance of what we had in our friendship, because we became more like sisters. Mm-hmm. So I take that practice with me now, all of those practices about the importance of land and the environment, your community and family, with me. And that's basically embedded in everything that I do.
Yeah. And then after that, that's when you began consulting to support organizations to develop their well-being and mental health programs as well. And that's what you do now.
Yeah.
So now that everyone knows more about your career background, I want to know what brings you joy.
For me, learning about psychedelic medicine is something that I'm very interested in, because I had a deeply healing psychedelic experience to treat my complex PTSD about 3 years ago. And I did a lot of research into different modalities. And when I had a psychiatrist in Australia tell me that they did not have the training there to actually deal with the type of childhood trauma that I experienced, I went on a huge journey to find the answer, because I knew it was time and I needed to recover from these things. So we will talk more about that on a podcast episode, because that's a big one. But I love holding space for people to process their deepest stories. And I've learned that part of the healing process is really important. So the part that I think is the most important is trusting your intuition. So I actually had to learn how to trust my intuition, because I do think I had that when I was younger, but it was sort of taken from me. So that was really cool.
Yeah, I remember your psychedelic ceremony really pulled you out from a dark place. And I'm curious, when are the times in your life when you felt most alive?
Ooh, I like that question. So I felt most alive when I surfed my first reef break in Sri Lanka. Riding down the inside of a wave and touching the wave with my hand was this feeling of like connection to everything around you that I cannot explain. And also when I live in the moment and spend time with friends.
So do you feel like your passion for psychedelic medicine has helped shape your future goals?
Yes, because the key for psychedelics to work, for healthy behavior change purposes, is self-awareness, which is the ability to self-reflect and do introspection, to ask yourself questions to get to answers. Being intentional is number two. Having an environment that is appropriate during the event, but also having your environment set up after to support your healthy behaviors that you want to take on. And having self-care practices such as breath work and meditation in place to help you with processing. My goal is to speak with and work with people who are truly ready to make big changes in their life, but they don't have access to psychedelics yet, because you know, it's not accessible for everyone, especially in the U.S. And when it is accessible, it's actually quite expensive in other countries. So my goal is to support people to get that same behavior change effect that you get when you do psychedelics, but with the strategies that are proven by science to support healthy behavior and habit building. So that's things like enhancing your intentionality, building your self-awareness skills, starting new habits, and setting your environment for change. So I developed and recently launched my own program called Flow to assist professionals to manage stress and burnout and to build all of these healthy behaviors and habits into their schedule so that they feel better and so that they have healthy relationships too.
Yes. So I reviewed your flow program. I was actually one of the testers when you put it online. And I just want to take a minute to highlight this because this is a summary of your life's work. It's, you know, consists of evidence-informed practices and tools and one-on-one and or group coaching for professionals. So everyone needs to go and check out Lauren's website, and we'll definitely put it in the show notes for you. So now that you guys know a little bit more about us as individuals, we wanted to talk more about the dynamic of our friendship and ultimately what's led us to do this podcast. So our friendship started because, as we mentioned earlier, we both traveled to Australia at the same time, and then our relationship really truly blossomed during a time when we were both learning about who we were, when we ultimately had, you know, these certain elements stripped away, such as, you know, our family being in a different country and our friends, and also just, you know, the normal routine in Columbia, South Carolina that, you know, our conditioning, you know, really
was based around.
That's
yeah,
right.
Like
yeah.
All of that was taken away.
Absolutely.
And, like, and all of your conditioning is then like put into question and what you're normally used to, your norms.
That's right. Absolutely. So we ultimately transitioned into our true selves at the same time, which was, yeah, really, really an incredible time for us.
It was. We created practices to get us through those hard times. I don't know if you remember this. We journaled. We had our friend Logan that is a meditation instructor who would come over every Saturday morning to our home that was actually right on the water on Mermaid Beach.
Yes.
And he would meditate with us. He'd bring us through a morning meditation every Saturday.
They were phenomenal. Like, those sessions were just amazing.
Connecting and, you to something
yeah,
higher for sure.
It was great. And we also did regular yoga practices at a studio just around the corner in Mermaid Beach. And then I also, because I was teaching, I was initially teaching Pilates. I was quite new at that stage. Once I finished my training, I was offering Pilates on the beach. And so that was really special
that
time
was
as well.
Incredible. Yes, we had sunset yoga sessions
yeah,
with Kinder on the beach. I was spoiled because we were roommates. So we were, I would go out there every time that she would teach, and it
yeah,
was absolutely the best way to start the day.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was great. And we just were so conscious about, you know, making an effort to become a part of a community of like-minded people.
Yeah, we both cared deeply about the environment and started a weekly beach clean at our local beach with one of the environmental groups, because everything, as you know, that is put in or near the beach or left in or near the beach, so plastic, mm-hmm, paper, anything, you know, toys get left on the beach all the time, that all ends up in the ocean. And we both saw a need for getting involved because we feel so strongly about taking care of the land that we live on. And we were really connected to the land through the ocean because we did a women's surf group, mm-hmm, and started surfing and hiking together in the mountains.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was fortunately, you know, in Australia there's so many beautiful landscapes, and you know, all around the world,
the hinterlands, I should say. I said the mountains, it's not like hills, they're like subtle bumps. I would say it's a very flat country, so mountains would be a stretch.
But it was wonderful. Like, we just were so conscious of making time for that, you know, on the weekends or, you know, just when we had that free time. And another important element that, you know, for us was we became involved in these women's circles, and there was a group called Soul Sister Circle, and that was such an important part of us, you know, meeting an amazing group of people. So I find that, you know, for example, when you leave college and you have your group of people, your friends, let it be through sport or, you know, for us it was our sororities, you know, we just found that having this group, you know, the Soul Sister Circle, it's a bit of a mouthful, mm-hmm, just really helped us to connect with women who were, you know, self-aware and who are also going through the self-development and also cared for the land and did, you know, participated in similar activities that we did.
Right. So it turns out that all those practices and rituals that we were taking part in and that we weaved into our life are evidence-based, even though we were initially just following our intuition on what we needed and trying to make sure that we basically didn't turn into bitter bitches. We wanted to take care of ourselves so that we were processing all of the things that we had been through in our life. And those strategies are actually all included in some way in flow coaching and in your Daily 30, which is Kendra's program. So that's something that you'll be able to find in both of those programs.
Yeah. And this is when we're going to dive deeper in, you know, into those practices and rituals. So, you know, we're going to talk about the things we've learned along the way that helped us to move through those difficult periods and those, you know, big changes in life that happened, you know, including the ones we are going through right now. So,
yeah, join us on the next episode. We hope you're there to tune in.
And thanks so much.
Bye.